What are you doing? Donald, are there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You know, your op-ed clarified something for me, which has been part of the Twilight Zone we're in with this administration, particularly the obstruction investigation, which is that things that might be normal politics under other circumstances have this added valence in the time of an obstruction of justice investigation, which is to say there's all sorts of things the president might do, take actions against people in the Justice Department, fire people, hire people, coordinate with Congress, that suddenly take on this different dimension because there's an active obstruction investigation.
Well, you know, I wish it were the Twilight Zone, and unfortunately it's real America right now in 2018.
I was haunted by tweets every single day. Like, what is he going to tweet next?
Does anybody say to him, what are you doing?
I mean, I tried to be that person, and then all of the people around him attacked me.
Should we be worried? Don't say that. Because we are worried, but I need you to say no, it's going to be okay.
Okay, no, it's going to not be okay. It's not.
Donald Trump's presidency, it has some critics raising the question, is our democracy in danger? Specifically Harvard professors who've studied democracies for decades, because they say the answer is yes.
So they argue that President Trump shows signs of a politician with authoritarian tendencies because he rejects democratic rules, denies the legitimacy of opponents, tolerates violence, and restricts civil liberties.
It's pretty scary. And now with the military parades, he had 8 out of 10. Now he's going to have 9 out of 10.
Wow.
You're a narcissist who likes to put your name or face on buildings, appoint family members to positions of power, rallies.
Yeah.
Who has rallies after the election is over?
He's still campaigning. He is.
It's not even about campaigning. It's about he feels blue because someone was mean on TV, so, ooh, I need 9,000 drooling idiots in a airplane hangar in Tuscaloosa. Stat! Make them feel good so we can... Okay. Rallies. You hate the press and use your own propaganda outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Fox, state TV, I call it.
And the Twitter.
Missile parades. You use your office for your own personal financial gain. Align with other dictators and strongmen, claim minorities are the cause of the problems in the country, and you lie so freely that people don't know what the truth is anymore. The last one, the one he hasn't done, military costume.
All right, check your cards. Who has dictator bingo?
I'd walk every step of the mile and think it was really worthwhile to see a parade come marching down the line. I don't know a son of a gun who wouldn't be willing to run to see a parade come marching down the line. Perhaps I'm what you'd call a patriot, but one thing's certain, whether I am or not, I love a parade. The tramping of feet, I love every beat I hear of a drum. I love a parade. When I hear a band, I just want to stand and cheer as they come. That rat-a-tat-tat, the blare of a horn. That rat-a-tat-tat, a bright uniform. The sight of a drill will give me a thrill. I thrill at the skill of anything military. I love a parade. A handful of vets, a line of cadets, or any brigade. For I love a parade.
The Pentagon is working on a grand military parade in Washington requested by the president. Pentagon spokesman tells CBS News that plans are in the early stages for an event in November.
It's the first ever Presidential Macy's Trumpsgiving Day Military Parade. Join us as the streets of Washington, D.C. are filled with a thrilling display of authoritarian power. Fighter jets, nuclear subs, a dancing Steven Seagal, things that go bang, things that go boom, Uncle Sam on stilts with big boobs, the Trump youth with their salute to the Golden One, and Robert Mueller in a cage. Kids, don't forget to bring your poking sticks. It's the first ever Presidential Macy's Trumpsgiving Day Military Parade.
Here's the thing. Traditionally, America doesn't do military parades. Normally, if you're in a city with U.S. tanks rolling down the road, I wouldn't bring the children. The Founding Fathers didn't want a standing army at all, and military parades were a European fetish. Trump got the idea when he attended last year's Bastille Day celebration in Paris. Oh, my God. He knows Bastille Day is about poor people chopping off rich people's heads, right? Nobody tell him. Evidently, during a meeting with his top generals in the Pentagon's tank, a room reserved for top-secret discussions, Trump said, I want a parade like the one in France. Keep in mind, this is the room where they make big decisions like, do we go to war? Sir, Kim Jong-un is fueling his rockets on the launch pad. Do we engage with a first strike to cripple his command and control? Sounds good. General Kelly, I need you to go to Party City and get some red, white, and blue streamers, some crazy straws, a hot glue gun, and some rickrack. We're making a float.
Donald Trump so badly wants to be a dictator. This week has brought us one unnerving spectacle of authoritarianism after another, from the president calling Democrats treasonous for not applauding him to ordering the Pentagon to plan a military parade. In fact, Trump's request for a military parade is so crazy that even state TV outlet Fox News seems a little uncomfortable with it.
Jennifer, what has been the reaction at the Pentagon to the president's request?
Well, I would describe it, Dana, as a collective eye roll from military leaders who I've spoken to. Most thought it was a joke at first. Many fear that the U.S. will look like the dictators they scoff at around the world.
There are a lot of people at the Pentagon who would love to show off all the equipment.
Right.
And the personnel.
I don't know. It seems like a waste of money.
Oh, but did we catch them in the act or what? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, did we catch them in the act? They are very embarrassed. They never thought they were going to get caught. We caught them. Hey, we caught them. Oh, it's so much fun. We're like the great sleuth.
And I mentioned, my dear Watson.
So Trump's allies in Congress and the right-wing media have been going all out to discredit the Russia probe. And yesterday, they latched onto yet another wild conspiracy theory when a text message from September 2016 emerged between former FBI officials who were having an affair, in which one wrote to the other, POTUS wants to know everything we're doing. Now, Fox News tried to claim the text was a reference to President Obama meddling in the Hillary Clinton email investigation, but if you look at the timeline, that doesn't make any sense. In fact, it turns out the text was actually about Russian interference in the election, a topic any competent president would obviously want to be briefed on. Of course, if that text were sent now under Trump, it would read, POTUS doesn't want to know what we're doing. He threw a cheeseburger at me and screamed fake news. But as usual, the fact that this fake scandal was yet another dud did not deter Trump, who took to Twitter to scream in all caps, new FBI texts are bombshells. This keeps happening. Every time the right claims have discovered some major bombshell casting doubt on the Russia investigation, we get a little more context and it turns out to be BS. In fact, the same guy who brought us this fake text scandal, GOP Senator Ron Johnson, also brought us a fake text scandal a few weeks ago when he claimed to have found a reference to a so-called secret society in a text message sent by those same two FBI officials.
What this is all about is further evidence of corruption, more than bias, but corruption at the highest levels of the FBI and that secret society. We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. There's so much smoke here. There's so much suspicion.
Let's stop there. A secret society, the secret meetings off-site of the Justice Department.
Correct.
And you have an informant saying that?
Yes.
Man, look at Bret Baier's face right now. That's the face you make when someone comes up to you on the subway and tells you Pizza Rat was a government mind control project.
He didn't want the pizza, man. They just made him think he wanted the pizza.
Now, when the full context of the message came out, it turned out it was just a joke, which anyone with any common sense could have told you. And Johnson was eventually forced to admit that the whole thing was probably a joke when he was tracked down by reporters in the Capitol.
Senator, this text message seems to be a comment about secret society was in jest. Do you agree that it appears to be it was in jest?
It's a real possibility.
Oh, is it? Is it a real possibility, Detective Johnson? Sorry to say this, but you're not exactly a...
great sleuth.
Did I mention, my dear Watson?
Are you going to talk to Mueller?
I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Would you do it under oath, Mr. President?
Oh, I would do it under oath. Absolutely.
Lawyers for President Trump say he should not agree to sit down with special counsel Robert Mueller. That is according to the New York Times, saying, quote, lawyers are concerned that the president, who has a history of making false statements and contradicting himself, could be charged with lying to investigators.
So you wanna fall for the bad guy. So you wanna fall, get mad high. Confess your love, let me testify. Anytime I wish you gotta testify. Anything we go through is a test of times. Can you be the one who love me all the time? We not doing good, you can see the signs. Can you do the crime like it's Bonnie and Clyde? I'm giving you my testimony line for line.
There are new reports that Donald Trump still wants to meet with special counsel Robert Mueller, even though his lawyers are strongly advising him not to. Trump's lawyers want assurances that Mueller's team won't try to entrap the president by doing sneaky things like asking him questions. But Trump believes that his extensive experience testifying in the many lawsuits in which he's been involved will help him outmaneuver the special counsel. According to a source close to the president, he thinks he can work this and doesn't realize how high the stakes are. Well, I disagree. I think he does know how high. I think it's Robert Mueller who doesn't know how high the stakes are. Forget the lawyers. I agree with you, President Trump. You didn't do anything wrong, and even if you did, you're too smart to get caught. You'll run circles around these clowns. Donald Trump gets in that meeting, not only will they drop the investigation, Robert Mueller will probably beg him for tickets to the inaugural ball in 2020. I dare those nitwits to try to outwit the greatest negotiator of all time. President Trump, you go in there and wipe the floor with these numbskulls, and when you come out of that interview, you can get back to the business of making America even greater than how great you've already made us.
Another huge scandal, and it's not the fun one where the president gets spanked by a porn star. We were so innocent back then. Now, this one's pretty ugly. It involves White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter. Porter resigned yesterday after evidence surfaced that he physically abused his two ex-wives. Now, these are horrible, sickening revelations. so the White House had no choice but to defend him. Like White House Chief of Staff and man who has had it with your shenanigans, General John Kelly, who said, "Rob Porter is a man of true integrity and honor, and I can't say enough good things about him." You actually just said too many good things about him. And Kelly's not the only one who feels that way, because even after pictures of Porter's first wife with a black eye were released, senior officials were still trying to convince Porter to, quote, stay and fight. I'm going to say that's a poor choice of words and of presidents. So why would they want him to stay and fight? Well, funny thing. Turns out senior Trump aides knew for months about these allegations. Wait a second. They knew about this and they didn't fire him? Trump fires everyone. Spicer, you're fired. Priebus, you're gone. Bannon, you're banned. Omarosa, hit the rota. Domestic abuser, I like you. Stick around.
David Sorensen, the speechwriter who has now been accused of domestic violence and is out at the White House.
Right, Christy. So the White House announced yesterday that he was resigning his position, that he had left the White House or was on the cusp of leaving the White House.
Over the last 13 months, three separate women have revealed what they saw was abuse by Rob Porter, who until 2 days ago was a top White House aide. And during those 13 months, starting in January of 2017, when two of Porter's ex-wives spoke to the FBI, people knew about the allegations, including some top White House officials. They knew, and it seems they did nothing. Porter didn't only remain in his job, his star actually rose. He was promoted. He became Chief of Staff John Kelly's right-hand man, even handling highly classified material. And even when this became public, the first move by these powerful public servants was to defend Rob Porter. They circled the wagons around Rob Porter, and they began singing his praises. When photos of Porter's first wife with a black eye were published, the White House began to change their tune, but they refused to go into details of who knew what and when. They dodged and they weaved and they tried to cover it up. Now, that was bad enough, but today it got worse. Today, the President of the United States weighed in. He said nothing about the women, nothing about spousal abuse. He didn't mention the women at all. No, what he did is he chose to praise Rob Porter.
It's a obviously tough time for him. He did a very good job when he was in the White House. And we hope he has a wonderful career, and hopefully he will have a great career ahead of him. But it was very sad when we heard about it, and certainly he's also very sad. Now, he also, as you probably know, he says he's innocent. And I think you have to remember that. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent. So you'll have to talk to him about that. But we absolutely wish him well.
We absolutely wish him well. Now, just to be clear, the president is saying that about a man accused of doing this to his first wife, Colby Holderness. He's talking about the man accused of verbally and emotionally abusing his second wife, Jenny Willoughby, and of menacing her to such a degree she had to get an order of protection.
After he did ultimately leave and I closed the door and locked it behind him, he returned a moment later and punched in the glass on the front door. And because I did know that his anger was unpredictable, I didn't know what he would do next. And I...
You were frightened?
I was scared.
It was after that that the police officer recommended she get a temporary order of protection. Now, the president did not mention her today, nor did he mention Rob Porter's more recent ex-girlfriend, also alleging abuse. Nor did John Kelly's memo to White House staffers last night or his public statement Wednesday night acknowledge any of Rob Porter's accusers. But what really stands out is the president's almost reflexive defense of an alleged abuser and total lack of consideration or even simple acknowledgement of the accusers and their allegations. And as stunning as that was to hear today, maybe it really shouldn't have been stunning, because this president has a history of doing for others what he did today for Rob Porter.
There's a difference between having a career and working for me.
You have said you don't want Marla to work. You actually said
no.
On the day of the wedding, actually.
I think I'm probably mixed. I have days where I think it's great, and then I have days where if I come home and, you know, I don't want to sound too much like a chauvinist, but when I come home and dinner's not ready, I go through the roof.
This is what the president said, lamenting the departure from Fox News of alleged serial abuser Roger Ailes.
I think it's so sad. He's such a great guy. Roger is, I mean, what he's done on television is in the history of television. He's got to be placed within the top three or four or five.
and that includes the bounding of the major networks. So it's too bad.
He's talking about the history of television. Nothing about the women. He has similarly defended Bill O'Reilly and Mike Tyson.
It's my opinion that to a large extent, Mike Tyson was railroaded in this case.
Nothing about the women. High praise, though, for the alleged predators. And according to reporting by the New York Times, Maggie Haberman, he's even tried to let himself off the hook for something he's caught on tape saying that we all heard, his boasting about being able to sexually assault women and get away with it because he's famous. She and Jonathan Martin reporting that he's told friends that that might not really be his voice on the Access Hollywood tape. The president, it turns out, is a remarkably understanding and forgiving guy when it comes to alleged abusers.
All right, the president now weighing in after the resignation from Rob Porter and now David Sorensen, the second White House official, as it relates to domestic abuse allegations. The president here has tweeted, "People's lives are being shattered and destroyed by a mere allegation. Some are true and some are false. Some are old and some are new. There is no recovery for someone falsely accused. Life and career are gone. Is there no such thing any longer as due process?"
A new claim that I made inappropriate advances. These people are horrible people. They're horrible, horrible liars.
Roy Moore denies it. He says it didn't happen. And, you know, you have to listen to him also.
How's that for due process?
Deputy White House Press Secretary Raj Shah addressed the White House's defense of Porter.
I think it's fair to say that, we all could have done better over the last few hours or last few days in dealing with this situation.
President Trump publicly condemned domestic abuse for the first time since a top White House official resigned a week ago. Rob Porter's two ex-wives have accused him of physical assault during their marriages. Up until now, Mr. Trump has praised Porter and appeared to cast doubt on the accusations. Today, amid rising criticism, he fielded a question on the issue at a White House meeting.
I am totally opposed to domestic violence of any kind. Everyone knows that, and it almost wouldn't even have to be said. So now you hear it, but you all know it. Thank you all very much.
According to John Kelly, he acted immediately upon learning the extent of the allegation.
Can you clarify to us exactly, there's been a lot of reporting about the timeline and when you found out about things. Can you just
Tuesday
verify
night.
That?
Tuesday night.
You found Tuesday night?
That the accusations are true.
Yeah.
40 minutes later, he was gone.
We know that's not true because it is a matter of public record. Last Wednesday, a day after Kelly says Porter was, quote, gone, the White House was still defending him. And Kelly himself, standing by his statement calling Porter, and I quote here, "a man of true integrity and honor." It is as flagrant a lie as Sean Spicer's infamous whopper about the president's inauguration crowd, demanding we ignore the evidence of our own eyes, which may be why today the White House changes story yet again.
We'd learned of the situation involving Rob Porter last Tuesday evening, and within 24 hours, his resignation had been accepted and announced. We announced a transition was going to happen, and within hours it did. And in terms of timeline, I don't have anything else to add. I can tell you that a conversation took place within 40 minutes, and beyond that, I really don't have anything else to add.
That account is still full of holes. According to New York Times, for example, by Thursday morning, well beyond 24 hours, Porter was still in his office clearing out his things and had to be nudged to leave. Tonight, the White House will not explain why. Over a year after claims against Porter first surfaced, not just claims out of nowhere, not mere allegations, but claims by two women who furnished their evidence to the FBI, why he was still on the job handling the most sensitive classified information produced by the U.S. government.
So was the White House informed that this could affect his security clearance? That's a yes or no.
What I can tell you is that the FBI submitted a partial report on the investigation in question in March, and then a completed background investigation in late July. That is, soon thereafter, we received requests for follow-up inquiry, and we did the follow-up and provided that information in November, and that we administratively closed the file in January. And then earlier this month, we received some additional information, and we passed that on as well.
You can't shame a person who is unwilling to be shamed. Yeah. All you have to say is, I don't care.
I disagree, though, in that I think this is the moral scandal, that it's easy to be cynical and say it doesn't matter. It does matter to American men and women who are decent at their core. And this is sunk into the narrative that Donald Trump really has a problem with women, that he tolerates this treatment against women. And men and women of all political persuasions don't approve of it. They don't like the language. And it's starting, the tide, I do believe, is starting to shift. And you look at Roy Moore in Alabama. Yes, he was uniquely horrible, but still, he lost at the end of the day. A pedophile nearly won. I mean, at least Jordan was right.
She predicted, she went out on a limb. You predicted Roy Moore would lose, and he did. Are you willing to, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to anyway. You're going to make a prediction that this is sort of the beginning of something that actually, I mean, let's just assert it. The Russia investigation has not done Donald Trump much political harm. Do you think that defending men who abuse women and men accused of sexual misconduct is going to be the thing that starts to eat away even at his 35% base?
I think it's been chipping away at him ever since the Access Hollywood video had his voice saying the kind of derogatory women, the language of sexual assault coming in his own voice from his own mouth. And I think that it's continuing now to the Stormy Daniels payout.
The amount of women that said, yeah, I know that, I disagree, but my husband needs a job.
So Steve Bannon said something rather evolved for Steve Bannon. He said, you watch, the time has come. Women are going to take charge of society, and they couldn't juxtapose a better villain than Trump. He's the patriarch. This is a definitional moment in the culture. It'll never be the same going forward. And I saw that, and I pulled out this quote from Fire and Fury that I underlined the day it came out, and we didn't spend enough time on it. But in Fire and Fury, Steve Bannon is quoted on this question of Donald Trump's problem with women as saying, look, Kasowitz, who was Trump's lawyer for a time, has known him for 25 years. Kasowitz has gotten him out of all kinds of jams. Kasowitz on the campaign, what did we have, 100 women? Kasowitz took care of them all.
Thanks for the song
from Harry Richman.
Future.
The Exciters. Golden Earring.
And thanks to
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Chris Hayes, Omarosa, Manigo Newman, Ross, Matthews, Christy, Paul, Victor, Blackwell,
Bill,
Mayer, April, Brian, Stephen, Colbert, Nora, Seth, Myers, Dana, Perino, Steve, Ducey, Ainsley, Earhart, Brian, Kilmeade, Basil, Rathbone, Ron, Johnson,
Brett,
Fire, Stephanie, Ruler,
Jimmy,
Kimmel, Anderson, Kupel, Jenny, Willoughby, Ari, Melba, Raj, Shah, Judy, Woodruff, Kelly, Ron, Wyden, Christopher, Ray, Matt, Welch, Elise,
Jordan,
Nicole, Wallace.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.